As the great independent director, Mr. Werner Herzog, once said, I despise formal restaurants. I find all of that formality to be very base and vile. I would much rather eat potato chips on the sidewalk.
Hello and welcome to Potato Chips on the Sidewalk.
I'm the eldest boy.
I am a Codrill Jacob. And joining me today is...
The eldest boy.
The eldest boy.
I am the eldest boy. Barbecue
I am actually the eldest boy out of us. I'm... I am of months.
No, as you see, Kendall is also not the eldest boy. So that makes me the eldest boy, as in Kendall the eldest boy.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, well... So, yeah, we're finally here at the end of Succession.
Yes.
Season 4. Yeah.
The entire series.
Wait, what? No.
I just love the actors being like, wait, this is where it ends? And it's like, yes.
Yeah. Imagine, yeah, like Jesse Armstrong was like, I think this might be where it ends, but I won't tell anyone until it's actually...
Look, in somewhat of their defense, could... there'd technically be 2 or 3 more seasons of just family infighting after this, of like just stuff happening.
Hear me out on this one.
Sure, yes, there could be. Stuff is going to happen after this as just, you know, reality moves on. In terms of the show Succession, this is where it ends. Like, it's done. It's over.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and that's the thing there's an interesting subsection of audience members on this show who... mostly the ones who want it to keep on going, who don't treat it like it's a thematic story.
Yeah, like, this is the end of what the story is.
Yeah, but, like, they almost treat it as if it's just a vessel for their favourite characters, when it's just, like, no, it's always been one of the most, pointed shows into,
like,
this is what we're thematically doing.
Like, this is, like, a weird thing for me. I only just thought of this, so it's not a full thought, and it's probably not going to mean anything once I say it, but, like, did they expect this to be, like, David Lynch's original vision for Twin Peaks, where... sure, the Succession's like hanging there, like Laura Palmer's murder's like never going to be solved. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, is that what they expected? I just don't understand.
Maybe, but like, yeah. Look, I don't want the Succession stands to sour this episode, but yeah,
I don't care at this point.
A lot of them are kind of idiots.
They've given us their view of the final Succession episode for, so you know, all bets are off. anyway,
Ben, Jacob, what did you think?
Well, what did you think?
What did you think?
Yeah, I thought this was a great finale to a great show. I was questioning where it was going to go, even up to like the last 15 minutes. You know, like it, there is a bit of like, you know, there's a 10 minute wrap up, but it's hard for me to say that it's like, oh, it was a shocking twist final moment, because that's not really what this show is. It's just kind of like,
no.
It's been laying out for 4 seasons about why this was going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like Jesse Armstrong, like, having an ending and then writing backwards. I know that's not what happened, but, like, not writing backwards from the Succession, but, like, all the reasons why it was never going to be Kendall, all the reasons it was never going to be Shiv, and all the reasons it was never going to be Roman.
Yeah,
and
spoilers, by the way.
Can you imagine somebody's like listening to this before watching the finale?
Someone's listening to this, like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, good news, it wasn't Greg.
Look, okay. I predicted Greg as a possibility last week. I am so angry because I got the mechanics of my reason completely correct.
Yeah.
That Mattson needed a US CEO who he could control.
Yeah.
I was just stupid enough to not see that obviously Tom was a fucking better fit. Like,
yeah. Well, I think us overlooking Tom in that regard is like tied to a lot of
his absence in the last couple of episodes,
but also his the fighting between Shiv and Tom.
Yeah,
and his like him working with Shiv in that way. But yeah, no, like. Obviously, Tom was a much more viable candidate than Greg would ever be in the history of the entire show.
Who still won in a weird way.
Like, I mean, the Tom Greg's got their moment, at least.
Yeah.
anyway, I can't even remember. This episode was like a gauntlet. Like, it's basically a movie at this point. Like, it's just like,
well, it's 94 minutes, so
yeah. Or if you're watching in Australia on our Premiere streaming service Binge, it was like 88 Sarah minutes. Snook was.
like Sarah Snook was.
Oh my god! For those who don't know what's going on, there's essentially a 4% speed up of all content displayed on the streaming service Binge because they use the antiquated PAL standard from 40 years ago, and 24 frames a second content is displayed at 25 frames a second. For people who aren't nerds like me, who I've complained about this to, friends, family, co-workers, they've all looked at me like I was a fucking crazy person thinking that this was an issue. They're like, why does it matter? And I'm like, it matters so much. And they just did not understand why. Anyway, that's my technical rant about how much I hate Rupert Murdoch. Anyway, can Rupert Murdoch die like Logan Roy? I'm sorry. where are we going? Where do we even begin in an episode of television like this? Tell me, Jacob, because I'm at a loss.
Well, is what do you mean?
Where do we begin the discussion? Because there's
I'll say my thoughts on the episode.
Yeah, go on.
I think it's as perfect finale as you could get. This is like, you know, the ending of the show puts everything else in before it into perspective, and that's what this really did perfectly. Like, I don't know how anyone thought the show could have gone past this.
Yeah.
Like, this is the ending of the show Succession. Like, yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah, so we start off with, like, both Kendall and Shiv kind of scraping for votes in the lead up to the upcoming shareholders meeting.
Yeah.
In which Shiv kind of has a lot of momentum going for the Mattson Gojo deal to go ahead. Whereas Kendall's just kind of trying to find any scraps to shut down the Gojo deal.
Yeah.
And remain on board.
Yeah, sorry.
Immediately, you know, when Shiv is so confident that you're like, okay, this is not good.
Shiv can't close a deal to save anyone's life except Tom's.
Exactly. But, yeah, it's like, she essentially has a ticking time bomb on her head as she so confidently is sure that she's about to be CEO of Raystar Royco Gojo tomorrow.
Okay.
Whereas you can see Mattson's obviously about to be like, yeah, I'm not sure about Shiv.
Well, he was already like that.
I know he was already like that, but he definitely was like, okay, he can't.
I feel like any character having a conversation with Shiv, and we're going to annoy the Shiv heads. Do you know who I'm never going to annoy? The con heads. I love the con heads. But the Shiv stands. She can't. Having any character having a conversation with Shiv Roy, like, she just doesn't have the. I'm gonna be civil. She doesn't have the business acumen, you know. Like, she doesn't have any leg to stand on in terms of just like impressing anyone. Like, she's never impressed any other character in this show with anything that she can do. Like, even going all the way back to season 2 when Logan told her that she was going to be the one to take over, like, at the dinner with the Pierce family, she just blurts it out.
Well, I'm not sure if she hasn't impressed anyone. I think it's more that she doesn't have a poker face.
Yeah. Like, she's never, like, done a deal that we've seen, you know, like, this worked out for her.
I guess the Piers deal at the start of the season was.
I'm sorry, Nana Pierce, but you're not getting any money from anyone.
I like how, like, the Pierce shit is just, like, immediately, like, okay, yeah, that's that happened, but no. It's interesting with Shiv because I think her big issue was she didn't have a poker face.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get to the end when we get to the end.
But yeah, she, you know, when things are going good for her, she does take it that bit too far.
She gets very cocky.
Yeah, exactly. And she has a sense of security that obviously she shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But and that's the thing. She also doesn't become CEO because Mattson is just a stupid misogynistic dickhead. Like,
yeah.
He does say, like, he just wanted to fuck her, but
okay, well, that moment I do want to get to, because I feel like that was his test to see how absolutely docile and just completely spineless Tom is, just to say that to his face and just to see how he reacted, and to see that Tom, you know, like, was very, like, visually and outwardly bothered by the statement. I think he wanted to see how, like, Tom would be bothered, which he was, and then whether he'd fight back in any way, which he absolutely did not. And that's exactly what he was looking for. Again, yeah,
but
do I think that his statement and the truth behind it is disgusting and misogynistic, and just he's a complete just troll Elon Musk fuckboy dickhead? I'm not saying Elon Musk is a fuckboy. Elon Musk can't fuck to save the world, but, like, that kind of just absolute incel dingus, yeah, like, he sucks. But that particular statement you're talking about, I think, was more of a test for Tom.
Yeah, but, like, it was a test, but, like, a lot of people also thought the whole Ebba?
Yeah.
Blood thing to Shiv was a test, but that turned out to be true. So I think, like, Mattson knows he has a good way of turning his vulnerable, misogynistic, idiot fucking thoughts. He knows how to leverage the truth to extract what he wants from people. So I think... I actually do believe that he was misogynistic enough and with his dick too much.
Yeah, I think it's all for real, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
But yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, listener, I can't really... I don't know if you can tell, but I'm a bit on a high on this episode. just me coming into it a little bit excited. My thoughts are running all over the place. So we cut to the Roy mum. Is it Catherine?
Caroline.
Caroline, shit. That's me being Lucas Mattson-esque. In my defense, she is the worst mum on the show, which is saying... I think she might be the only mum on the show. I don't even know what I'm saying. Anyway, Roman has... I assume they're like... is it the Bahamas they're in or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, like... Roman has retreated to Mummy's house after his...
in the Barbados, sorry.
Yeah. His Barbados. He's retreated back to Mummy's house after he's been trampled by the protest that he caused. And both Shiv and Kendall are looking for him to be able to, convince him to come on either one of their sides. And they eventually both turn up, and Kendall's like, Shiv seems genuinely concerned about Roman's well-being, and then Kendall's just straight on already grilling him to be on his side, which in hindsight should have been a dead giveaway about where everything was going to go by the end of this episode. But yeah, what did you think of the entire Barbados sequence and how it unfolds? We'll just be a bit loose about it around. I'm trying to have my thoughts slow down a bit because I'm already thinking four or five scenes ahead because I'm that excited about how good this finale was.
First and foremost, this show's costume department has been rightfully acclaimed.
Are you talking about Roman's little boy outfit here?
They've been rightfully acclaimed for a lot of the designer brand stuff, but how well it actually sort of suits and tells you a lot about these characters.
Yeah.
And then in this final episode, Roman in the Barbados is wearing a little boy's t-shirt from Target. And that might be the most brilliant costume move the show has ever done.
Yeah, I thought it was so funny just to look at him just being like, oh, I'm back with Mummy, and my brother and sister are yelling at me, and I'm just when I saw him in that sky blue t-shirt, I was like, oh man, he's just really lost every after. Kendall told him that he fucked everything up. He's just retreated back into this 9-year-old little state that he's you're right, it is brilliant.
Oh my god, okay, I'm looking it up right now. It's legitimately a $14 little boy shirt from Walmart.
That's actually amazing. It's some great shit. They're all, being all businessy, and Caroline comes out and,
her awful husband.
plays the guilting mother and has them all stay for dinner so they can hear a pitch from her awful husband, awful Peter, husband. And his friend about some bullshit that they 100% just not going to go on, and they're not having any of it. And during the dinner, Greg uses like I didn't even think of this like as like a setup earlier in the season with the Gojo Norwegian retreat, where they're all talking Swedish and everyone's just like, oh, what are they saying? Like, I'm surprised Greg was smart enough to pull out his phone to use app. The auto translator app and to basically figure out that it's not going to be Shiv. I don't know if he figured out at this moment it was going to be Tom, no, because that comes later. He didn't know it was going to be Tom.
He wouldn't have.
Yeah. He wouldn't have figured that out yet. But his first instinct is to play both sides and immediately call Kendall and, let him know and, say, you're going to let me into the inner circle if I tell you, like how pathetic he is. And,
To the end.
Yeah, and have Kendall come out and to... Like, when Kendall comes to grab Shiv and Roman away from Peter's terrible pitch, where they're all just being so sarcastic to this just fucking shit boring guy. And, when he tells Shiv that it's not going to be her, he is doing it out of, he does have a play out of it, but it's also he is doing the right thing by her by letting her know that she's putting all her chips on the wrong number,
he does definitely sympathize with it.
Yeah, I can see in that performance that he's not, entirely being 100% selfish about it. Again, it is in his own self-interest.
Yes.
But, he could have let Shiv, continue down the path that was only going to hurt her. And he didn't do that, which was, I thought Kendall was, in that moment, trying to keep them all together. Which he probably was more than any of the three of them throughout the episode up until the very end. But yeah, and then we see probably the last happy night the three Roy siblings, excluding Connor, poor Conheads.
Poor Connor, yeah.
Yeah, but the last enjoyable night the three of them will probably ever have together.
Which is great, because the final episode, so much happens, there's so many different power shifts and flips and all that, but they still find a lot of time to have the Roy kids have that last final night of normalcy, the family, that family life that they really wish they had. They're all acting like kids, they're swimming, they're making a meal for a king, which is just throwing in disgusting shit for Kendall to drink.
When, Shiv and Roman finally can see that, out of the three of them, they should probably choose...
Kendall.
Kendall out of the three of them. They're not entirely happy about it, but they do admit in that moment they're if it is going to be one of the three of them, it should be Kendall. Of course, that decision is undone at the end, but... sorry, spoilers if you haven't seen the episode. Imagine somebody doesn't watch the show and they're getting the entire plot of the four season Succession from us. They'll be like, these guys are incoherent. Why does everyone love this show? Then, they... How do we anoint the new king? And that they're having fun together. They're, so they're making a meal fit for the king, and then their mum comes in and tells them off for using Peter's cheese. And I think probably like one of my favourite lines in the entire episode is when like she talks about how particular he is about this cheese, and when she says like, and he's very boring about it. And I was like, I really love that, just that throwaway line from Caroline there, where it's just like, I could feel it, you know, like that kind of, you know, someone being like so particular about this thing that it's just like, oh, it's just so boring to even listen to him say like why it's so important to keep his cheese so intact and don't touch it. But yeah, like it's just, I think this is a really nice scene, but in this moment as a viewer, you know that where we are in the story, that this is probably never going to happen again. Like for any reason, before or after the show. And it is like almost like in like one of the endings of the show. I'm pretty sure at this point in the episode, like I knew it wasn't going to be Kendall because it was too...
Everything was working to, again, when everything's working too much for a character.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, Roman sees Jerry, gets weird about it because he's Roman. And then starts panicking and saying he doesn't want to go to the vote thing. And then
can we get in the scene in between these before we move on?
Sure.
The vote? Yeah, sorry. I want to talk about, you know, like the I want to say like the inheritance auction.
Is what it is. Of course.
Where Connor has devised a system to, you know, put stickers to bid on Logan's possessions. And during this scene, they, you know, they stumble across like a video of a dinner with Logan that happened in the 3 months that the kids were like estranged from him. And I thought this was like a very important scene, just for how these characters truly all felt about each other before the final falling apart of the family, where they were watching this video of Logan and they're all doing their, you know, like their, I don't know how your family is set up in this way, but, you know, Logan's Scottish patriarch. I have a, you know, Scottish, heritage. In fact, Brian Cox looks a lot like my grandfather. He has a thick Scottish accent. But, you know, like the way that they're singing, I think Carl is singing either this like Irish or Scottish like old pub song, and Logan's going like, you know, like you're murdering it, you know, it just reminded me so much of like my granddad. Like he lights up, there's like we have a local pub in Guildford that I think like every Tuesday they have like a group of singers and just come sing like old Scottish songs. And every time I like see my granddad, like we all go for dinner every now and then, like it's not like a all the time thing, but we'll go for dinner at that pub, and my granddad will just light up when he hears that kind of stuff. And like seeing that Logan, and you know, like everybody's, you know, doing their, there's like a limerick that Jerry does a lot, you know, like, and there's all these kind of things, everyone's going around the table, and you know, it's like a seems like a thing that's happened like a million times. And the three Roy's kids who weren't there, like Connor was there, but the, you know, the main three that we watched throughout the show are like enjoying this video so much that they weren't present for. And now that like Logan's gone, and it's just like, it was just such like a, it was, I don't know how to describe it. The scene really hit me for all those reasons. You know, like they just weren't around for this, you know, like family tradition and like, you know, like thing that they're so accustomed to and probably have been to hundreds of times in their life, and they weren't there for the end of it.
Yeah.
It really hit home for me a bit, yeah.
Well, yeah, no, that's a very touching part. Again, probably like the final bit of normalcy the show has as well. Where it's like, it's not a normal situation. It's these kids watching their dad be the person they wished he was.
Yeah.
To them.
Well, it's also like, it's probably how they're going to remember him as being.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and then, sorry, I'll let you continue with the the next scene where they finally get to the Waystar. Yeah, the Waystar office.
Well, I mean,
you're talking about with Jerry and Roman.
Well, actually, I do want to say one more thing.
Oh yeah, nice.
Greg, in a show where everything happens, one of the more forgotten things is that Greg and Tom get into a slapping fight.
Well, Tom does take his anger out on Greg a lot throughout the show.
Yes. Greg finally hits back once.
Yeah. Yeah, like for the first time in this. That's probably why he got the sticker at the end of the episode. But, and then again, this is where Shiv finds out and tells, you know, Roman and Kendall that Mattson's choice is Tom. And that's why Tom, you know, automatically assumes that the leak came from Greg the Egg, and they get in their slapping fight. And then, and where we were going to earlier, Roman sees Jerry and starts freaking out.
Yep, and then Kendall does one of the most insidious things I've ever seen on a TV show, which is feign a hug to Roman while holding his still healing stitches to his shoulder and making them pop. So essentially abusing his brother by luring him into a hug and then just injuring him as a, I believe he was trying to be like his dad, Logan, you know, abusing Roman to control him. Like, see, Roman had been so many times in the show.
Yeah. See, I had a little bit of a different interpretation of what happened here. Because, you know, Roman said he wanted to call in because he, didn't think he was going to be presentable. And then he looked in, like, the tray there, and he saw his reflection. And so it doesn't actually look bad enough. And people have seen me around, and they know that I'm, you know, like, I'm scared to be around if I call in. And I think, like, personally, like, I think, you know, Kendall might have, you know, gone a little bit further than Roman was comfortable with, but I think Roman was also pushing himself into
I think it was both.
Like,
I think it was a mixture of abuse from Kendall and self-harm.
Well, I just think that, you know, Kendall saw it as, you know, like, oh, I'm going to pop your stitches. So, you know, if people see you bleeding and walk out, they're not going to question why you weren't there. and, you know, Roman was leaning into that, and it probably, you know, Roman was, like, you know, contributing to that until he started to pull away. So I think, like, at the end of the scene, you know, like, Kendall's malice is at the forefront, but I think to begin with, it was kind of like a mutual, you know, like, Kendall thought he was helping Roman, and Roman thought that he was being helped by Kendall in that moment.
Yeah.
That's how I saw it, at least.
I think it's both, honestly. Like, yeah, like, Roman does, I think, to start with, leans into it.
Yeah. Like,
but yeah. It's really insidious by the end of it on Kendall's part.
Yeah. And the board meeting, the climax of Succession. I do want to point out that the first season of Succession is so funny, where it's like the sixth episode ends with a board meeting that's pretty much exactly, it kind of goes the exact same way for Kendall.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I remember watching the first season and getting to that sixth episode and finishing it and thinking, oh, like, oh my god, they got another, you know, four episodes of this season after this. And then it turned out, you know, like, we had like another, I think, 33 episodes to get to pretty much the exact same scenario for Kendall. Like, it all came back around to the exact same thing again.
The reality and the banality of a boardroom.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. No, you go.
No, you're all good.
Yeah, so, you know, Uncle Ewan's just there. So, you know, and the votes are, as to be expected, as the way the show goes, to be split 50-50, which this time leaves Shiv to be the one to have all the power.
Yeah.
She steps out, and Kendall immediately fucking flips the fuck out and is like, yo, 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 and oh, come on, are you okay? And then Kendall realizes that Shiv does have all the power in there, and then just kind of, which Shiv also realizes.
Yeah.
And then the Chekhov's gun finally gets let loose.
Yeah.
Shiv is like, you can't be CEO because you killed a man. I don't think Shiv believes that. I don't think she cares. But that was the Chekhov's gun.
Well, I don't think that was her main reason for voting against him. I think it's like, it is a factor, but
it's a reason.
I want to point out that when, you know, Roman pauses and then finally, you know, votes in Kendall's favor, you know, like, Kendall's up the front being like, yeah, that's damn fucking right. You know, like,
yeah, he's I think such a dude. Yeah.
I think that one just sentence coming out of Kendall's mouth is enough for, you know, Shiv to just be like, this isn't how it needs to or should go. You know, like, she just sees something in Kendall that, you know, like, he can't do it. At the end of the day, you know, he is, like, you know, the most qualified of the three. And, like, I think he would do the best job out of the three of them. But yeah. It was her decision to say, well, if it's not going to be me, it's not going to be Roman, why should it be him? And
yeah.
She makes the choice to hand it to Tom because she knows that Tom is, you know, the one that it's going to happen to. You know, like,
yeah.
At that point, like, she made a decision to be the thing that she never wanted to be. The wife and the mother to the CEO. She never wanted that. Tom wanted that. And, again, like another insidious thing, you know, like Tom reaching over in the car right out of the building, putting his hand out for Shiv to grab it, is just, it was kind of, you know, evil in his part to, you know, say like, I've won and you're my prize. And
yeah, yeah, it's a fucked yeah. image, a great image, but a fucked one at the same time.
Yeah, like in Shiv's eyes, to say no to Kendall, to she was losing either way. If Kendall won, she still thought she lost, but
yeah,
she lost in her way. And I think it's the only real decision that has worked out in the way that it might not have been her, you know, grand master plan of where she wanted to be, but it's the first time that she's ever really made a choice about
yeah
anything that's going to happen. Like, it was her choice that it was going to be Tom at that very moment. And for, you know, Kendall to freak out and attack Roman for parroting Logan's opinion about Kendall's kids, which I didn't quite catch when I watched it, but I know one of them's adopted, and I think he like insinuated that Kendall's like biological kid wasn't really his. Yeah. So you know, like Kendall freaks out on Roman's like attacks him again, like tries to like pop his stitches
even again.
And
he's,
you know,
obsessed,
like,
with his stitches, like,
yeah. And he's like, and he's yelling out, I am the eldest boy. And then Shiv's just like laughing at him, and like, you know, people in the boardroom are hearing and seeing this through like the glass windows, and it's just
they're like, oh boy, I hope Shiv doesn't vote for him.
Yeah, that's the thing, like, even if Shiv went back in there and voted for Kendall,
yeah,
he would have lost votes. Well, he would have lost other people's votes in that moment anyway. So
yeah,
yeah, like, it's just, again, like, it's not like anything surprised me at any point during this episode, but for it to all unfold in this way is, you know, like, it's right.
Yeah. And I think the best touch is Shiv walks off, casts a vote. Kendall is just in such a delirious manic state that he runs into the board and is like, hey, stop the vote or redo it. Frank's just stop the count. And like, Frank's just like, well, I'm sorry, it's done. It's just so matter of fact and casual and fucking brutal to Kendall.
Yeah.
I love that. So,
Kendall. I think we do have to mention, you know, like, how Kendall says that, like, to Shiv, like, if you do this, I think I might die.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is like, you know, this has been the thing that's like keeping Kendall going forever. Yeah. So, I don't even think it's like disingenuous or manipulative of him to say that. Like, he's genuinely pleading for his life in that moment.
Well, he is manipulative, but I also, it's like, it is the truth.
Yeah, like, that's what I mean. At the same time, like, it is manipulative, but it's also, you know, like, he is saying exactly how he sees the situation ahead.
Yeah, he obviously couldn't envision a world where this doesn't happen to him.
Yeah,
where he isn't CEO.
Yeah. So, you know, like, Roman signs the deal with Mattson, hands over the company to Tom, and Mattson, you know, even calls out Greg for being Judas in that moment, and Greg just, you know, laughs it off because he's got his sticker from Tom to claim him.
Him and Tom are just like, Greg, you might be a mischievous little bastard, but I have you.
Again, but let's just like, you know.
There's also that time Mattson, bomb.
Yeah, well, Mattson's got Tom, and Tom will always have Greg. Greg, he knows that he can use Greg in any way he wants.
Yeah, who's weirdly enough, because like, tell me if I'm wrong, but in quick succession, it's Hugo and then Greg who talked to Tom in that scene.
Yeah, well, I actually do want to point out something about Carolina. Is Carolina automatically, you know, like, says to Shiv, first order of business, we get rid of Hugo. And then when Hugo walks up to Tom, he tells him to basically fuck off and, like, get me Carolina instead.
Yep.
So, like, I think, you know, like, whatever Carolina continued to say to Shiv that we didn't see, I think she was also in Tom's ear at the same time.
Yeah, 100%.
So I think, like, Carolina behind the scenes probably played a big part in Shiv's decision in the end. Which I think is, like, might be reading into it a little bit. But I do think that she did have a part to play there. I would be amiss if I didn't mention that we do have a nice little moment with Carl and Frank at the end of the episode, but there was a disappointing lack of Carl and Frank in our series finale.
You know, but they also wanted to slit. They also had that great moment where they say they wanted to slit Tom's throat as a kid.
Yeah, but then also Tom says to Greg that we need to get rid of those old cunts, you know, like.
Yeah.
So like, it's just.
But that's the thing. You're not sure how much is Tom talking shit.
Yeah.
To Greg, like he usually does, but.
Well, you know, like Fisher Stevens wrote that Hugo spinoff. I want to see the Carl and Frank spinoff. That would be fun, you know. Yeah, like no, they've been fired by Tom, and now they're running a island resort together.
Pardon, sorry?
Like, you know, like they got I don't want to repeat my stupid joke that spin-off is they get fired by Tom and they run an island resort together.
Oh man, that'd be my headphones dipped out that moment. That's actually a great idea.
Yeah, I know. I'm pitching it better than the Hugo spin-off that Fisher Stevens wrote. I can't believe he said that though. That's an insane thing to do. Everybody's favourite character, Hugo. I'm sorry, Mr. Kind of, Stevens. You there?
It's kind of like when the actor Stanley from The Office UK said he was trying to make his own spin-off, Uncle Stanley.
Yeah, I think he actually like funded like a pilot on like Indiegogo or something. Yeah. And then we talked about, you know, Shiv and Tom driving away, and then we have Roman go to a bar and order a Jerry Martini, and he smiles. He just kind of seems like he's happy. It's over.
I think he got the happiest ending. He, in a way, kind of.
He's free.
He's free from Logan.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he finally stood up for himself as well against Kendall.
Yeah.
With like. He's free of all the bullshit of because that's the thing he says throughout the episode, none of this matters.
Yeah,
like he's a complete nihilist about it, but that's kind of the only way you can find peace in that situation. Like he just kind of he had been relieved of that pursuit of power.
Yeah, and then we end with Kendall walking through the park with being shadowed by Logan's bodyguard and looking out.
Logan's bodyguard and literal shadow.
Yeah. And looking out into the water in defeat, just not knowing where his life is going to go from here.
And ending on the same great back headshot framing of Logan looking at the board in the intro.
I think it's interesting to point out how small Kendall is in the frame. Compared to Logan in the frame. I'm also not the first person to point it out, but I need to continue my comparison from episode 8, where I talked about Kendall as Michael Corleone, and the... I don't know if it is the final shot, but like the ending of The Godfather Part 2, where Michael sits alone in the garden in the sunset. Jesse Armstrong, I think he knew what he was doing with those comparisons. But yeah, like it's a somber note to end on, and I just think with the bodyguard in the background, it kind of it prevents the Sopranos, like, did he die? Did he kill himself? Did Tony get shot? Did Kendall kill himself? His bodyguard's going to be there forever preventing that. He's going to have to live with this.
It's going to be Logan's ghost as well.
It's amazing to see unfold.
Yeah, it's a powerhouse of an ending. Jeremy Strong obviously giving one of the great performances in all TV. I'd also like to talk about Kendall's relationship with Walter throughout the entire series.
Yeah. It's always like a cathartic thing for him to be around.
Yeah, but it's like... Also, like, obviously the waiter gets killed in water. And he does try to save the waiter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like, but, like, he couldn't control the water.
Yeah.
And then season 2 opens of him halfway submerged in the water in rehab. Then in season 3, he almost dies by drowning.
Yeah.
In a pool. Yeah. And then after the Living Plus thing, there's the very, like, operatic scene where he goes into the beach almost feeling like he's conquered it.
Yeah.
And even in this episode, he has this whole water ritual that he makes Shiv and Roman go through while they're trying to concoct the plan to get him to be CEO.
Yeah.
But now he's just detached from the water.
Yeah.
And just looking at it go.
And he wants to throw himself into it.
Yeah.
But there's, as you said, Logan's shadow preventing him from doing that.
Yeah. Fucking Jesse Armstrong, man.
Yeah. And, as I said earlier, people not understanding that this is where the show ends. Sure. Kendall Kendall could fight for years to try to get back the thing. He could, there could be a season 5 of just absolutely just unimportant. And I don't say unimportant, but like what I'm saying is like the characters' lives go on, but this is the ending of the story. There are obviously events relating to Waystar and the Roys and, all that kind of shit. Obviously. But is there a story there after this? No. This is the
Succession.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's... With Jesse Armstrong saying, the title of Succession is a promise. He fulfills that promise in the last 15 minutes of the entire show.
Yeah.
And... I just think, theoretically, a worse show could go on from here. But the best show ends here.
Agreed 100%.
Yeah. And
I think they bodied the ending. I think they it's just phenomenal.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to be giving the series a rewatch anytime soon.
Oh, I don't think I could myself.
Yeah. But I know whether it's in 5, 10, 15 years at some point, I'm going to sit down with this box set and it's going to be like, it's going to be The Godfather. It's going to be Lord of the Rings. It's going to be The Sopranos. It's going to be, you know, Better Call Saul for me. But, you know, like, it's going to be something that is going to stand the test of time in terms of just like a woven story from beginning to end of just who these characters are and why it wasn't them.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, the people who wanted another season of this show, like, the ending informs the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, as he said, this is going to be the tale of why none of them got them.
Yeah.
Got what they wanted.
It's, yeah, like, it's, I'm not too, like, you know, versed in, like, histories of, like, kings and stuff, but, like, this is why this prince didn't become king. And it's good shit. Good shit. Great shit. Jesse Armstrong, excited to see what you do next, to see if you come back and save TV from it being 6 feet under right now.
Yep. And yeah. Also, it'd be, do you know what the funniest thing would be?
Peep Show revival?
No. he just starts another, like, small scale comedy, like, funny little sitcom.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, he goes back to, like, Peep Show, or he does, like, a I Think You Should Leave type sketch show. Where does TV go after this? I'm looking forward down to the Bear.
Down the Dunny.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Bear.
Also, I Think You Should Leave season 3's out today.
Yeah. As we record. I need to start watching that. I haven't yet. But I'm the opposite of Kendall Roy with that ending. yeah, like, it's done. It's over.
TV is done.
It's Jover, even. I guess we'll be back with movies because there's no more TV to talk about.
All right, bye. Back to movies.
Movie time.